The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you for joining us for our fourth week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are in this journey for a few weeks already, trying to understand and learn about the life of Jesus so we can learn and emulate his life, learning how he loved and served, so we can love and serve like Jesus. Well, as Jesus' apprentices, we have a motto. And the motto of Jesus' apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And we must love our neighbor as yourself. So the rescue worker is this community of Jesus' apprentices where we are trying to encourage each other, learn with one another, and from the Bible, how to be like Jesus. And our motto, the motto of this community, the rescue worker, is this motto, to love God with all we have and with all we are, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Each week of this journey of experiencing Jesus, we choose a Bible verse that we'll be reading throughout the week to be our memory verse. And the memory verse for our fourth week, so that means we probably have memorized three verses. So the memory verse for this week is the following. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. I'll repeat, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Luke 2, verses 30 and 31. Let me ask you, have you contemplated the salvation that God has prepared for everyone? Well, that is Jesus Christ, the one that God has sent to save everyone. His desire is to save everyone. His love is for everyone. Well, before we go and reflect on the verses for today, that is verse 22, 23, and 24 of Luke chapter 2, I want to invite you to prepare yourself to come into God's presence. We believe that every time we come to the Bible, we are coming before God, before His throne of grace, to have an experience with Him. And we rely on the promise of Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. So we come before the Bible knowing that we are coming before God. And every time we come before God, we are coming before His presence, His throne, and He has reserved a grace, a mercy for us on His word, but in His presence as well. So prepare yourself to come to His word, to come to His presence. Try to find a better place where you can connect and hear God's voice. Try to put aside any concerns so you can dedicate your attention to God. I'll give you 1 minute for you to reflect, to prepare yourself. And after that, I'll come back for a short prayer and then the study of these three verses. So I'll see you in a minute.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come before you, before the throne of grace. We want to hear your voice, be blessed by you. So help us, Lord. Be with us and speak to us. Bring healing, peace, comfort for all the hearts that are in need of these blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, take your Bible and maybe your electronic device and try to find Luke chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 22 to 24. Last time together, we studied that 8 days after the birth of Jesus, he was circumcised, and then he received his name, Jesus. That means God saves. God is salvation. He brings salvation. And Jesus carries in his name the mission of his life. So verse 22. Then it was time. It is interesting how Luke liked this word and this concept of time. And time here refers to a season. Right, not specific day or moment, after the fulfillment of a season, a period, when things were completed. We see that over and over on these introductions, in these first chapters of Luke. On the right time, the message came for Elizabeth, for Mary, and the birth on the right time, and all the promise being fulfilled on the right time. So came the right time. Right time for what? Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by law or by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. Let's stop here for a second. So, because of the bleeding process of the birth process, right? The woman, the mother, was considered unclean by the Jewish laws. And what that means? At that time, because of the blood, they were, let's say, unclean to be involved on religious celebration, or even to touch sacred things, right? So they had to go to a kind of two-level process of cleanness, okay? So Mary had the baby, and because of the process, she was considered unclean. Now she needs to go through this process of purification. This is a process that the woman goes by herself. So the first time or the first phase is 8 day period. So basically the same time for the circumcision, 8 days. At 8 days, she takes a special bath, right, to clean herself. Then, if she had a boy, she had another 33 days, completing 40 days of the birth, so she could go and having a special offer according to Leviticus 12. And you can read that, right? Leviticus 12 tells about this process, right? So if she had a boy, after 40 days of his birth, the birth of that baby boy, she would go and have a special offering, a special ceremony for hair purification, okay? And one of the offerings was an animal or two doves, right? Depending on the financial means of the family. So what we see here is a description of a Jewish woman being following God's commandments and going through this process, right? We see the 8th day, and now we come to the 40th day for hair purification. Okay? Is that clear? So that is in Leviticus 12, and you can read after that. So it is time for hair purification. It's a process that she goes by herself. The baby is not necessary to be involved. However, here we see Jesus being present, and more important, being the center point. So here we see, right? So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So there's two ceremonies here, and I want to talk and expand on that, right? The dedication, the presentation of the baby, that basically was buying back the redemption of the baby. I'll explain that. But before we go there and talk about that, one thing we see is that somehow, through this process of purification, Mary's purification, Luke decides to present Jesus and be the center point of the account. And I think we have here a glimpse what the gospel will unfold, that the true purification is center in Jesus Christ. You see, purification is not something that you can do by yourself, for yourself. It's not something that you do and try to be clean. The only one able to purify, to clean us, is Jesus Christ. So this new operational system that is coming into place is kind of perceived here by Luke. Hey, there's the purification, but Jesus is here. And that means that Jesus is the center of the purification. And we go to the last chapters of Luke, we'll see that the purification comes from the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice. So I think a great lesson for you and for me. There's nothing you can do to clean yourself. Only Jesus can cleanse you. So hang in Jesus, because he is the center of everything. Interesting that the Joseph and Mary came from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of a law from the government, the Roman government, right? A census, okay? And now, another law, Moses, right, law, brings the couple from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Well, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, we are talking about around 120 kilometers. From Bethlehem to Jerusalem, we are talking about 8 kilometers, okay? So the couple comes to Jerusalem, to the temple in specific, for this purification process of Mary. And here a point that I don't think I have highlighted yet. In the Gospel of Luke, we see the movement and somehow the centerpiece of the temple and its ceremony. It is interesting that the first account of Luke happens in the temple. Zechariah was in the temple inside of the holy place when he was visited by the angel. So what you see is a movement, and the book of Luke starts in the temple and somehow finishes in the temple. Okay, so it's a back and forth, a movement to the temple in Jerusalem, having its climax, its summit moment, when Jesus, probably 500 meters from the altar of the temple, the altar of sacrifice, where Jesus was sacrificed. So we have this movement. And here is the holy couple, Joseph and Mary, bringing Jesus to this purification ceremony, but at the same time for dedication, presentation, and in a clear sense, buying back process. What I mean by that? Let's continue reading. Okay, so let's go back verse 22. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child, it is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So what we see here, Luke introduced another ceremony, the dedication. And what is this ceremony of dedication of the first birth, the first boy or the first child to be born? If we go back to Exodus 13, just before the Exodus of Egypt, right? God, in that moment that he sends his last plague upon the Egyptian people and the Egyptian house of Pharaoh, because it was not willing to let the people go, God puts a requirement and says, from now on, the firstborn will belong to the Lord. The first animal, the first baby boy will belong to the Lord. And you can see that in Exodus 13 verse 2 and the explanation about that on the following verses. So from now on, the idea was that from each household, the first boy would belong to the Lord. He should be dedicated for the Lord, that he would work for the Lord, right? When we go to Exodus 19, we see the clear desire of God of having a nation of priests, right? So the firstborn of each household would serve the Lord as his priest. Okay, so we see this beautiful picture of having every family connect to the Lord, having someone serving the Lord for every family. I remember growing up that in Brazil we had this tradition that every family should have a priest, right? Brazil was basically a Catholic country, right? It was the largest Catholic country in the world, so each family had to have a priest, and that was the concept coming even from this concept, right? But something happens on the account, because so that was the plan. Every family would have someone serving the Lord, right? Dedicated to the Lord, belongs to the Lord. But when Moses goes up to the mountain of Sinai to receive the tablets of the law and God's instructions and stay there for 40 days, the people of Israel was started worshiping a golden calf. Okay, so they are worshiping that. Just one tribe didn't worship or not part of that ceremony, and was the tribe of the Levites, those that came from the family of Levi. Okay, they didn't take part of that. So what God does is say, okay, because the Levites were the only tribe that didn't worship the golden calf, instead of having the firstborn of each family being a minister or being a priest or being dedicated to the service of the Lord, the Levites will take this responsibility. They will work on behalf of the first born of each family. So somehow we see a group of people that takes the responsibility of all the firstborns, right? So it's beautiful because we see Jesus taking the responsibility to be the mediator between God and us, and on behalf of everyone. Right, Jesus taking that Levitical prescription and a need, right? So beautiful that. But now, when I am, I have my first baby, right, boy, I understand that he's supposed to belong to the Lord. So I go and to present this baby, saying, hey, he belongs to the Lord. He's the firstborn. However, because the Levites took that place, the family would pay back, okay, the redemption of that first boy. They would pay 5 shekels. And you can see that in Numbers 18. Okay, read Numbers 18. And there, the families that were not from the tribe of Levi, they would suppose to, okay, the firstborn belongs to the Lord, but I'll pay back, I'll redeem him to stay with our family, right? He'll serve in two households, but stay in his family because the Levites are taking that job, and they will pay five shekels. That was probably around 20 denarius. That was 20 days of work during the Roman Empire. And here was what is the beauty. When we see in verse 24 the offering is mentioned here, the 30 dovers or 2 young pigeons, they are related to the cleanness of Mary. Okay? That offering is related to the cleanness of Mary, according to Leviticus chapter 12. What we don't see here is a directly notification information that the process of buying back took place. Has Luke forgot to mention that? Or that didn't take place? Interesting that Samuel, he was not the tribe of the Levites, right? We know that. But because of the promise that his mother made to the Lord, that said, if you give him a child, I'll give him to you, and he will serve before you all the days of his life. Anna did that. And you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, right? So Anna didn't buy back Samuel. She takes Samuel to the temple or to the tabernacle to the priest at the time, Eli, and says, here's the baby. He will serve the Lord here in the temple. So somehow we see a connection here, because by Luke, that is very, he loves to give details. He loves to give us the information. He doesn't give us the information of buying back. He explains, or there's these 2 ceremonies, why this ceremony is all about. He connects, the background of the Hebrew Bible. He presents the offering of Mary for her purification, but he does not say about the buying back process, the 5 shekels of Jesus. The Holy Spirit asked him not to say it. Could be possible. But for me, not saying is indication that Jesus was not paid back. And why not? Because he was given to the Lord. He belonged to the Lord. So he doesn't belong to Mary and Joseph, but he belongs to the Lord, and he would dwell and serve the Lord and his house. And we'll see Jesus coming back to the temple and the temple. And today he's in the temple of heaven, serving you and I. He was not bought back to serve his family, but he stayed there to save the Father. You see, the purpose of Jesus' life was to serve the Father. And serving the Father means loving and serving the people. That is so crucial for us to understand. Serving the Father, serving God, is loving and serving the people. So as Jesus, he served the Father, loving and serving humankind, you and I, we are supposed to love the people and serve them. That's the purpose of our lives, and that's the reason we are here. When we are baptized, we are not only going through the process of purification that is based in Jesus Christ, because baptism, according to Romans chapter 6, refers to the process of the death and resurrection of Christ. So I die with Christ to be resurrected in Christ. But at the baptism, also, we are commissioned to love and serve others. That's the purpose of humankind since its creation, to love and serve, to be like God, to be like Jesus. And you and I now, we are commanded to love and serve. Is that easy? Sometimes not. But it's necessary if we understand who God is and the purpose of our lives, to love and serve, or serve based on love. So, are you loving? Are you serving people? I know it is easy to love and serve those that think like us, those that we have some closeness. And Jesus challenged his people to say, if you do that, if you just love those that love you, that like you, that think like you, that behaves like you, like, what is the point? Being a Christian, being Jesus' disciple, being an apprentice of Jesus is loving those that hate us, serving those that don't like us. It's not easy, but it's the journey of Jesus' apprentices, dying for themselves, dying the ego, to love and serve. And to for us, as much as we can, we should live in peace with everyone. That's what Paul says. Sometimes we cannot, because it does not rely just on us. There's the other party. But for us, we need to be available to present love and service. Jesus, he came to be with the Father, minister to the Father on behalf of humankind, so through his love he could serve us. And you and I must do the same. What about ask God for love for everyone, so we can serve everyone? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. And thank you for Jesus Christ. Through him, we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Through him, we can have hope. Hope of an eternal home with God. And Lord, until that day, help us to love and serve. Help us to dedicate our lives to you, to be truly Jesus' apprentices. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, are you ready for our questions? And the questions for every day are, what is happening in this passage? What is stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, I hope you were blessed by our study today. And I pray that you'll be with us tomorrow again. If you have missed any of the episodes, or you want to watch again, or maybe share with someone, I want to encourage you to visit our website at www.therescueworker.com. There you can connect with our Facebook page, our YouTube page, our podcast, where we have our archives, and you can watch again, watch for the first time, share with someone. Let's grow this community of Jesus apprentices. Let's grow this community of the rescue worker. So invite someone to be part of this journey of learning how to love and serve like Jesus. I hope to see you tomorrow. May God bless you. And don't forget, Jesus is the purification. And when we are purified by Jesus' blood, we are called to serve and love. May God bless you.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.